A full edition this week on Parliament's options on assisted suicide.
I sat in on two of the committee meetings, and I just had to get out of that room. It was just suffocating to me when one of the issues was hearing Senator Joyal from Quebec propose that it should be extended to children as young as 12.
People suffering from depression that results in a suicidal episode, basically what this majority report says is, we will guarantee that the next time you have a suicidal episode, you will be successful. That's crazy. That's really nuts.
I guess the first thing that we'll have to see is what's in the legislation. You know, the report is just a report. It's not entirely clear how the government is going to proceed.
It's one thing in the House of Commons if the Liberals whip the vote and they have a majority and it goes through. But the Senate is going to be kind of the complicating factor, I think. And I don't think that the Liberals would just leave it alone. I feel like they're going to have some plan in place.
And now, Lighthouse News. Lighthouse News is a presentation of ARPA, the Association for Reform Political Action. Here's your host, Al Sebring.
If you've been following the news at all, you know that about a week and a half ago, a joint Commons Senate committee released a report to Parliament on how to respond to the so-called Carter decision on doctor-assisted suicide. We touched on the report on last week's Lighthouse News program, but we also wanted to do justice in that show to Cassie and Molly's Law. So we didn't really do this committee report full justice. So this week, a more in-depth look at the report and what's next. We'll start with ARPA lawyer Andre Schutten and policy analyst Colin Postma. They're both in our Ottawa office. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Al.
Andre, last week we talked very briefly about the joint committee report, the parliamentary and Senate committee report on euthanasia. It had just been released. You were heading into the Manning Conference. We didn't have a lot of time. You had some initial reaction, which was, I think you actually said on the program, this makes me angry. Have we had a little more time to look over the thing and do a little more analysis now that we've had the benefit of a week?
Yes, we've taken the time to read through the whole report, and it certainly has not removed the feeling of anger, having had the time to stop and think about it. We've seen a lot of recommendations. I think I've said this last week as well, but worth repeating, that of the 21 recommendations, all of them, with the exception of perhaps one or two, are designed to expand access to death. They're meant to guarantee that people who want assistance in death will get it.
Well, you mentioned it last week, and I think it's illustrative and it's worth repeating. One of the things in the report is the notion of expanding access to assisted suicide to minors, teenagers.
Well, I think it's well worth noting that when you take a bunch of these recommendations and put them together, recommendation 4, recommendation 6, you put them together, what that results in, people, teenagers, let's say, suffering from depression that results in a suicidal episode, basically what this majority report says is, we will guarantee, government guarantee, that the next time you have a suicidal episode, you will be successful. We will make sure you are successful. Like I said last week, that's crazy. That's really nuts. And I think that any person, especially doctors, but any compassionate person should see these recommendations and say, this is wrong. This is not how we help people. This is absolutely not what we do. We instead talk these people through the suffering, through the depression, through the suicidal episodes, because it's a phase. And so that we work through that phase, we give them the treatment they need so they can continue living. Death should not be the objective. It should be to walk them through the depression and on to a better and healthier life.
Is there any sense that some of the politicians in Ottawa, and I'm not necessarily worried about the partisan thing, but is there any sense on the Hill that people are seeing this for what it is, that it is a radical piece, that it doesn't even reflect what the Supreme Court asked for to begin with?
In terms of people on the Hill, I'm not 100% sure. I know obviously there's the dissenting report that's in the recommendations as well. We were hoping that would be a little bit stronger. The dissenting report actually relied on the Supreme Court's decision as kind of their foundation for dissenting, which isn't really the strongest position, especially if you're going to try and hold a anti-euthanasia position in the future. You're kind of using this arbitrary guideline that the Carter set out. But what I've seen actually in the media quite a bit is a bit of a reaction to this that's swinging the other way, and it's changing the discussion a little bit from how can we open this up and help out those poor individuals who are struggling with end-of-life decisions to this sounds like it's a kind of eugenic policy. This has got some serious implications that we weren't expecting. And I'm seeing that in a lot of broad mainstream media reactions, kind of like, wow, this is a bit too far. Like, we understood that this is taking, small steps in towards a new area that we've never experienced before. But this is not a small step. This is a big leap in a direction that people, I think, are reacting to. And that's what we were kind of hoping as a last-ditch resort would be the reaction of the general public. So it remains to be seen how the public will react to the whole report. But ideally, this will send a message back to the Liberal government saying, you got to step this back a little bit and rethink this, because this will have serious implications long into the future.
So talk to me a little bit about the minority report. You referenced, the majority, and there is the other side. The context of that minority report, is there anything in there that we can say, these are some talking points that we can hang something on and try to advocate for and move forward?
There's two minority reports, one from some of the conservative members of parliament. The conservative senators signed on to the majority report, but the conservative members wrote a minority report basically trying to restrain or pull back the majority report to the Carter standard, as Colin already mentioned. And then the NDP also added an addendum about effective palliative care. And I think that was good. Unfortunately, they don't say much about the morally problematic aspect of euthanasia-assisted suicide, but the NDP do point out the need for real palliative care. The majority report only paid lip service to it, really, and with all of the recommendations that they make for opening up access to assisted suicide, they actually undermine any sort of recommendation for palliative care program in Canada.
In terms of process, I mean, Parliament has till June to get this thing nailed down. It has to go through the House of Commons, and then presumably it has to go through the Senate. What are the politics of this in terms of trying to hammer out something that politically will sell on all sides?
That's a complicated question. I'm not entirely familiar yet with the whole situation in the Senate on that regard. I know there's one person in particular who's in the Progressive Conservative Party, Senator Nancy Ruth, who is very much an activist on this. And I think that was regarding her, I think one of her parents passed away in a kind of a difficult way. And she's reacted very strongly to that, saying that everyone now should have that right. And she made some statements during those committees as well about the need for everyone to have access and leaving it wide open and all these kinds of things. So on that side of things, I do think it's going to be a very complicated debate, and especially when it's no longer about just a committee trying to find recommendations, but now it's something that they're trying to pass through the House. It's one thing in the House of Commons if the Liberals whip the vote and they have a majority and it goes through. But the Senate is going to be kind of the complicating factor, I think. And I don't think that the Liberals would just leave it alone. I feel like they're going to have some plan in place, whether it's trying to get new senators selected. They're not going to just say, well, we'll leave the Senate as is. They're going to try to find ways to make sure that the Senate rubber stamps what they're doing in the House of Commons.
Gentlemen, we're out of time. Thank you for doing this.
Thanks for having us, Al.
Thank you very much.
When we come back, some thoughts from some people who are very involved in this discussion. You'll recall that last week on the program, we quoted from Senator Betty Unger's blog. She's the one who made reference to the fact that it's a sad comment on society when we pay more attention to helping people die than helping them to live. We'll talk to Senator Unger. We'll also talk to Michael Cooper. He's an MP from Alberta, was vice chair of the committee that wrote this report. But as a Conservative MP, he spearheaded the minority report, the one that Andre talked about. We'll be back right after this.
The ARPA Canada office has been flooded with packages from the Booties for Babies campaign. Booties in all shapes, sizes, and colors. People of all ages are getting together to teach and learn the skills of knitting, crocheting, and sewing. Other groups are meeting in shopping malls to bring a public witness to the evils of abortion. The momentum just keeps growing. To learn more about how you can motivate participation in your own community, visit arpacanada.ca.
And we're back on the program. Two key political players in the discussion over the committee's report on Carter are Edmonton area MP Michael Cooper and Alberta Senator Betty Unger. First to Mr. Cooper. He was a vice chair of the committee that wrote the report we've been talking about, but he and several other MPs couldn't accept much of what the committee was recommending, so they wrote their own report. Cooper says that minority report tried to steer the discussion back to what the Supreme Court had originally mandated in the Carter decision.
Supreme Court held that physician-assisted dying should be available to competent adult persons. The main committee has recommended extending this to minors, despite the very clear pronouncement of the court to the contrary. The Supreme Court called on Parliament to impose stringent safeguards to protect the most vulnerable. This committee, in its main report, fell far short of that, particularly for persons with underlying mental health issues. Indeed, there are virtually no safeguards for persons with mental illness.
The minority report also says there needs to be more emphasis on improving end-of-life care. That is mentioned in the majority report, but Cooper says Parliament needs to put more emphasis on this.
This is absolutely essential now that physician-assisted dying has been determined to be a charter right for certain persons as a result of the Carter decision. There really is urgency for the government to act on palliative care and to work with the provinces. This has been an issue that is not a new one. There have been, I think, 4 or 5 Senate reports, for example, that have recommended that the government act on palliative care. But now that physician-assisted dying is a reality in Canada, there is no option but to move expeditiously.
The politicians have till June to write a new law, and if that doesn't happen, Cooper says, we'll have the same kind of legal vacuum as what currently exists on the abortion question. A complete lack of regulation, and he says nobody wants that.
I guess the first thing that we'll have to see is what's in the legislation. You know, the report is just a report. It's not entirely clear how the government is going to proceed. But I am hopeful that the government will take note of some of the important points that were raised in the dissenting report and puts forward legislation with stringent safeguards and to ensure that the charter rights of vulnerable persons, their right to life, liberty, and their security of the person is protected to the greatest extent possible.
Of course, once the law is debated in the Commons, it'll move over to the Senate. And it's far from clear what will happen there. Senator Betty Unger has been watching this whole discussion for quite a while, and she's getting increasingly upset at what she's been seeing.
I've watched this whole bizarre, unbelievable practice from when Belgium and the Netherlands legalized it. And I've heard the stories that have come from there of people who are now fearful of doctors and medical institutions. They go to their lawyers, their solicitors, and get an affidavit, sworn affidavit saying, I do not want to be euthanized. That's how bad it's gotten. And here we are in Canada pushing even further. I sat in on 2 of the committee meetings, and I just had to get out of that room. It was just suffocating to me when one of the issues was hearing Senator Joyal from Quebec propose that it should be extended to children as young as 12. And another senator, conservative, said, well, we need to make sure that good records are kept after the fact so we can monitor this. And I was heartsick. I just had to leave.
As to what will actually happen in the Senate, she says it's not even clear whether this issue will be voted on along broad party lines.
I'm not even sure where my conservative caucus is on this issue. I have been talking to as many people as I can, trying to find like-minded senators.
One thing is clear, though. Senator Unger says the release of the committee report has galvanized a lot of groups on this issue, and Canadians are starting to take notice of the whole debate.
I have heard, although I haven't actually seen the numbers, that a prior poll, say going back a year, a majority of Canadians were in favor of this, and now it's flipped. The people who want this are in a minority.
After we did our interview, Senator Unger released an open letter to Justin Trudeau on this issue. In that letter, she reminds the Prime Minister of his own mother's struggles with mental illness and urges him to think hard on that issue before passing any laws in response to the Carter decision. We link to the letter from the Lighthouse News homepage this week.
This has been Lighthouse News, delivering news and commentaries on today's current events to equip Christians for their task in the public square. Questions or feedback? You can leave us an audio comment by clicking on the answering machine button at the top of the Lighthouse News homepage, or you can send us an email, info@arpacanada.ca. Be sure to join us again next week for another edition of Lighthouse News.